Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual well-being.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace.
Bliss. Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Acknowledging that it's the first week of daylight savings time, we're going to start with a 20-part energization exercise. I was jokingly going to say, and every time Greg falls asleep, we're going to do it again. So starting with the left foot, tensing it to low, medium, high, and holding it there. Right foot, low, medium, high, hold. Left calf, low, medium, high. Right calf, low, medium, high. Left thigh, low, medium, high. Right thigh, continuing to hold all, low, medium, high. Lower abdomen, low, medium, high. Upper stomach, low, medium, high. Left forearm, low, medium, high. Right forearm, low, medium, high. Left upper arm, low, medium, high. Right upper arm, low, medium, high. Make sure you're holding everything. Left, you don't have to hold your breath then. Left chest, low, medium, high. Right chest, low, medium, high. Left buttock, low, medium, high. Right buttock, low, medium, high. Left neck, low, medium, high. Right neck, low, medium, high. Center of the neck, low, medium, high. Hold to 10. Feel the vibration in it. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release and feel. Smoother and nicer than a big cup of coffee. And feel that energy flowing in through the medulla. And feel free to, you know, especially in this group, and especially if you're at home, if you start to feel drowsy as we go through the night, feel free to just do that again quickly. And allow yourself to energize and stay, keep that smooth energy that goes along with it. I wanted to read a little from a posting of David's, just about, again, about why Ram Nam is so powerful. And I often play either Prem or I can't remember who the flute player is from Anandashram, but before service, because I think it's so uplifting. So here's David's writing about it from one of the postings. Papa says chanting Ram Nam is sweet, like candy in the mouth. In fact, no words can describe the bliss felt when chanting God's holy name. You may say that God has no name that can be spoken with the human tongue, and it is also true that every name is his name. However, there are certain names of God in all languages that have been surcharged through sacred repetition that has lifted up saints into the highest consciousness. Like a trail that has been blazed through the wilderness by thousands of years and thousands of feet that wear even sharp stones to smoothness, Ram Nam auspiciously qualifies as one of the most ancient and well-used of such incantations. It is God experience alone that is the true name of God. Seeing the sacred light, hearing the soaring Om or Amen, feeling the uplifting currents in the spine and brain, and expanding into infinite spirit. Like a symphony orchestra, God can be the power of a violent storm or the sweetest touch of a spring breeze upon soft petals. God experience encompasses all experiences and is far, far beyond ordinary perception. So I've been talking a lot in both classes and the talks that I've given about surrender. And I was wanting to break that down more and get us more to the steps that come before surrender. And so I was looking for direction on that, and I have little notes in my phone and thought, I'm going to look at, see what I have in my notes. And I had started this, and it was going to be for the retreat, and then I got direction that it wasn't supposed to be for the retreat, but I found it for now. And it was, what leads up to surrender? And the steps that came to me in meditation were that we start with being the witness. This allows us to detach. Then we observe God, let go of fear. That leads us to trust, which leads us to love, which leads us to surrender. And Papa said that humility leads to self-surrender. An example, an attitude of submission to the will and purpose of God, who is the source of infinite power that controls all the movements in the universe. And so tonight I thought we'd start with witness. And the idea of the witness and the witness consciousness. And I'd like to start by, and if people will just unmute themselves when they're ready to talk. But I'd like to just ask, what do you think of when you think of witness consciousness? And there's no wrong answers. This is our one of my careers, of the many that I've had, was teaching young children pre-literacy skills. And one of the things to bring a child into greater understanding of a book is before you started the book, you asked them, what did they know about the topic of the book? So you'd say, you know, this is, you'd read the title of the book and then ask, what do you know about that? And so we pull from our minds what we already have and what's already there, and then we attach new information to it. And that allows it to stay in the mind better and allows us to learn more quickly. And so I'll ask again, when you hear the word witness consciousness, what do you know about that? What do you remember? Our very, very first retreat that David did at Rich's house on Whidbey Island, we learned about witness consciousness. And so this was a pop quiz. I think Michelle gets off of the, because she wasn't here yet then.
Well, I remember being at Rich's house.
Okay, so it might have been a different.
I don't know about a retreat there, though.
Okay.
It was like a fun time.
Yeah.
When I was there. I was just going to say, like, just a feeling of calm.
Calm.
Is mm-hmm. what I, that's just what came to me.
Okay. Witness consciousness?
I was thinking stillness, that you can't witness something unless you're kind of settled yourself.
Okay. You have to be, so it requires stillness as opposed to causing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody in the realms of the computer?
Yeah. So I really like to use witness consciousness whenever my body's in discomfort. So mm-hmm. I really started doing it when I was running, and I'd run up this big hill and I'd go, okay, God, let's you and me go sit on the couch and we'll watch this body kind of thump up this hill. And it was really, really helpful. And I would start breathing so hard, I would just go, okay, well, God, you know, if you want to give this body a heart attack, that's like your business. But we'll just keep huffing and puffing here and see what happens. And I remember doing exercises with David at Loon Lake where we would walk around on the trails and around the lake and just be a witness to everything that was going on. And it's actually a kind of a nice, comfortable place to be, because for the first time, you don't feel like you have to be doing everything, you know, which is nice. And I think just generally it's a really good exercise spiritually. So, anyway, that's my experience.
Thanks. Judy? Oh, go ahead, Maureen. I saw you unmute first.
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing, because when I have the little melodramas going on, I don't have to get pulled into the anxiety. I can just be detached and watch what they're doing and watch the whole movie and not be really into it, not be pulled into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really helpful.
Yeah, very nice. A different place that you've used that mechanism than Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With me, Jill, it's every day watching those thoughts, noticing what thoughts are going through. It's constant every day. I mean, it's not 24 hours a day, but every day I have this watching. I'm always
Yeah.
You see where you could do differently, and you see where, okay, that was okay, but trying not to get attached to either one so that I can continue on this journey. Just continue watching and it's what it's all about for me, being the witness.
So it's watching your thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thanks, Judy. Those are all great examples and different mechanisms. And I'd like us to, does anybody else have a comment on that? On witness consciousness?
Well, for me, it's stepping back, like taking a step back and watching from a more detached place to witness what either myself or others. So it's watching from it like a place that doesn't have judgment, that doesn't have. Yeah, it's just a more detached place. Mm-hmm. So a witness, being a compassionate observer.
And I think you're emphasizing witness as opposed to participant. Is that a good way to think about it?
Yeah, like to step back from it, like emotionally step back from it, period, and watch it as opposed to being involved in it as such. Yeah.
And you also said you let go of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when you step back, it's like it's making it easy to do that, to let go. If I step back and detach from, yeah, it's like separating it from it somehow.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a good. David, Moses?
Yeah, I mean, I ditto everything everyone said here. In one way or another, I've had some experiences with all that. Yeah, I think for me, it's just noticing the thoughts and the sensations and the actions that are taken, and not applying my little self that I'm the one that's doing it, but it's like seeing it as it happens and how, and there's no expectation on how the results will manifest. It's like that space behind everything that just sits there and experiences. You just become like the experience as it unfolds. I mean, kind of generally that.
Yeah, that's, you've hit it on the nose with that one, David. And that's what we're going to practice right now. So there, all of those are examples of being the witness. And there's another way that we can use that, and that's to connect with the self, with a capital S. And so the process that we take to do that, because it sounds like everybody has some level of consciousness of witnessing. So what I want us to do right now is to just be in a state of the body that you feel comfortable, that you feel relaxed. And I want you to start to notice your thoughts. And you don't need to worry about what thoughts come. I want you to notice your body, the feelings that you might have, whatever comes to your mind first. It may be that your back hurts. It may be that you have something that you need to take care of. It may be that it's God alone. Whatever thought comes to your mind. And just pay attention to that we'll use about a minute to pay attention to that. Now we're going to redirect our attention from the thought to the consciousness that's observing the thinking. So you were thinking a thought, and something else watched the thought being thunk. So I want you to connect to that part. Let go of the thought and notice what was noticing the thought, what was witnessing the thought. Now I want you to connect to the part that is noticing the part that was noticing the thought. So there's a higher self that's observing the observing. You may find yourself tensing up, trying to force something, and what we need to do is breathe and release and allow. So at whatever level you're connected, I want you to really witness that. Really look at it. Experience it. See what it's about. And if you can, connect with the consciousness that is witnessing that. The experience should be more expansion with each layer. You're feeling contraction, and breathe, allow the medulla to open, soften the body, and start back at the thought. This is a practice like anything else that takes time to be learned. So don't judge yourself if it's difficult. Just work with the layer that you're at. When you feel completely absorbed in that layer, then notice what's seeing that experience. And connect with that. Each layer dissolves as we connect with the higher self. And so we have to be willing to let it go for this to be successful. So we start with the thought and witness it. And then we witness the part that's witnessing. And the thought dissolves. Spend another minute with this. Thank you. and bring your consciousness back and witness the physical here and now. For those of you who haven't done that before, it might have been quite challenging. For those of us who have done it before, it might have been quite challenging. We're being buffeted in quite a storm here. So. Questions or comments about that? About that practice?
So when you're going back through the layers, it's like just start out, just you're witnessing the thought.
Yeah.
And then, or whatever it is, and then you go back to who's witnessing
the thought.
Who's witnessing the thought.
Yeah. You just keep going back more layers. And so it's difficult to put into words, but the idea is that to keep going deeper or stepping away, however you want to think about it. But so there's that core thought and the witness to that. And for you to be able to see that there's a witness to it, that's something else. And so then you let go of the thought and you're witnessing the witness. But how are you aware that you're witnessing the witness? Because you're witnessing that. And so you let each layer drop off and it takes you to a deeper, a wider, for me, it's more expanded. It allows access to God unmanifest. That we're letting go of the concrete notions of God and going to that original consciousness.
And then there's no separation.
And there's no separation. There's no separation to start with, but we just think there is. you can feel as you're doing it. For me, visualization isn't anything I can do, but I feel it. I can feel the layers that are between the thinker of that thought and the expanded me. And as I drop each one off, I can feel it like a parfait. You know, there's a viscosity to it. It's not thick like pudding, but it's more like a warm, you know, if you walk into a warm air thing and you feel the difference in the air pressure. Like that kind of tactile, there's a tactileness for me. I'm sure for other people there's a more of a visual or a sensory, but as I drop those off, there's a some level of sensation that goes with it.
It feels like for me, like it's just this huge expansiveness, and I can't see a beginning or an ending.
Lovely. Yay, Connie. That's the goal. That's the goal. Maybe we were right about that cut.
Ha ha.
Can I tell what that inside joke is?
Yes.
Connie has had a rough few thousand years, but a rough couple of years, and was not able to come to class the other night because she was in the ER from a deep cut on her finger. And God just gave me the idea of, well, what if that was it? What if that was your last piece of karma? Now you're done. Then it wouldn't be such a bad thing. Yeah, that's the goal, is for everything to just fall away and be in that oneness with God. And when we're in that oneness, God doesn't feel like something else. We're just there, and it's us. And so it's not like there's this big guy that we're sitting with. It's just expansion and peace and calm and completely natural. And that was one of the things David kept telling me, is you're going to be surprised at how natural and familiar it feels. You're going to be really surprised at that. It doesn't feel common or ordinary, but it feels just right. Who had difficulty with it? Greg? Can you describe what was happening?
Just with the whistling we're experiencing and the clapping, it just kept bringing me back.
Yeah, distracted. So then that's another, so if there's a distraction, and we can, because I'm sure you're not the only one who had difficulty, but let's play with that a little bit. And instead of the thought, just whatever distraction there is that's coming to you. Most of us probably have some ache or pain in our body, or there's noise outside, or, and so we do the same thing. We notice the buffeting. We notice this isn't like a meditation where we have to calm the mind. The mind is very active in this, or the thoughting of our soul is very active. And so it's noticing all the things. So we're hearing the sounds, sensations, the rattling. And then we become conscious of what's noticing them. Where in our mind, where outside of the body. And it's not a matter of thinking harder, but it's a matter of really, just like when you're on the top of a mountain hiking. You're taking everything in. And so it's a relaxed focus. What is taking everything in? Look at that the same way. Experience that, feel that. And if it was difficult before, just stay with the first step that you're able to make, where you're witnessing.
Okay.
If you feel yourself starting to tense up or try and force it, just big, deep breath. Soften and get to that place where you look out and see things calmly with interest. Those who had a difficult time, was that, did it budge at all? Were you able to get more of a sense of witnessing? It is it's unnatural for the human mind to do it, because the human mind is trying to focus in, and we're trying to focus out. So it's reversing our natural tendencies. Go ahead, David.
I was going to say that, my propensity at first was to go into meditation, to delete information, to go inward and get quiet. But this is the opposite I noticed. It's like going out and not really doing anything but observing and seeing it. Yeah. But I had a hard time doing that because I could get to the first and maybe the second step. And then I couldn't get past that point. Anyway.
That's very natural, especially if you haven't tried this particular piece before. But it's what in the 90s, what really, in the 1990s, what really started to open me up to this consciousness of God. You know, to really start to experience that as a personal experience. And it seems to open the channels in a different way, because it's, what's another way to fall into God's arms without feeling like you're falling?
Trust.
Well, it's a precursor to having to do the trust fall. And that was I had really forgotten all about this technique that David gave us years ago, really at the beginning of his teachings, and just came back to me. So it's nice to be re-experiencing it.
I was thinking just now, Jill, that normally in our lives, we're reacting to everything we're seeing everywhere and what we're hearing. We're reacting. But as soon as you come back to this witness consciousness, the reaction is stopped. Instead, you're observing. And it's interesting.
Yeah, it's... And we've all used the technique, like everybody was giving examples of using that, stepping back from the situation. But this takes it even deeper and broader. It's not quite the right words, but into that expansive place.
Yeah.
And it allows us to not have to do anything, you know, that we don't have to stop judging because the judgments go away. We don't have to still the mind because the mind is vast. So there's plenty of room for anything that comes through it. So it's quite a lovely experience.
It feels like it's harder because there's a storm. It has that feeling of, oh, like, you know, if you have a home or anything, you know, you have to, like, do something when there's a storm, like, to make sure everything's safe and make sure things are tied down.
Yeah, the adrenaline wants to fight it and say there's something to be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's that the fight that we have with that mammalian body that we're walking around in, of I need to protect myself. Well, chances are in the next 50 to 60 years, none of us will be walking in these mammal bodies anymore. And our true protection is in that expansion with God. And so, you know, whether it's today or 10 years or 50 years, we're all going to say goodbye to this particular incarnation. And so getting used to that place where this doesn't matter so much is a nice place to live. Other questions or comments?
Yeah, just one last thing. I noticed it was harder for me to do it with my eyes closed than them being open.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know why, but
yeah, that's a good thing to note for you.
Yeah,
and other people that might be something to try too.
Yeah,
if it was very challenging. And to just not try and skip a step. So if you're not seeing the witness, don't leave. Wait until you find the witness of that step and then let the others drop away. And it's just a matter of a muscle that you have to work with and get used to. I think it's a fun practice. I think it leads to detachment, it leads us to really feeling God's presence, really being aware of that infinite space that God inhabits. And until we know God, it's hard to trust God.
It kind of reminds me of when David would do those guided meditations with expanding.
Yeah, the light.
Yeah. And I would always have trouble doing that.
Yeah. It's hard to think that we're more than this. It's hard to believe that we're more than this if we don't think it. And so I like the witness because it feels more tangible to me. Okay, I am noticing that. So something's seeing that. So what is that?
It's more of a yoni.
It is. Yeah, it's, but without having to get rid of anything.
Right.
And so that's the nice part, that it's not, we don't have to cut anything away. We're just seeing what is. We're just, and seeing as in experiencing. And so I think it's can be quite powerful.
It just feels like stepping back.
Yeah,
awesome.
And with each step, you get bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. and that there's, and you can, that's another way to think about it too, is let's just do that really quickly. So bring yourself back to that, whatever the last place was you kind of left off from, where you're witnessing. And then I want you to just notice, be aware that there's so much more behind you. It's expansive and infinite behind you. And I think that's where, when we feel constricted when we do this, it's the awareness of that expansion behind us that brings us to a state of fear. What would happen if we just turned around and stepped into that? The mind and the ego know what's in front of us. They're very familiar with that. It's very small, it's very manageable. We can imagine ourselves as little puppets, and God's hand is in us. What's in front of us is the little story that God's playing out with us as puppets. But then there's the whole of creation and the whole of uncreation. God's hand, starting with God's hand inside of us. Quite a mystery that we live.
Jill, it feels like that trust fall sensation behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what would happen, though, if we just turned around. Doesn't feel like we're allowed to, does it?
Allowed or no need?
If we're expanded into it, there's no need, because there is no behind.
Okay.
But if we're feeling stuck and like we can't see, we can't witness the next level, then there's something behind us that we don't want to connect with.
Don't want to connect, as in we do not want to or we should not?
Well, the little self is saying we should not.
That little self again, okay.
That stinker. That wants to associate with the puppet instead of the puppet master. Wants to think that this is all there is that controls the universe instead of all of this. Wasn't it more comfortable when you were in that allness?
Yes.
Yeah. And the little self all of a sudden goes, wait, 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 wait. I don't know what to do with that. When the mind comes in, then it starts to want to compartmentalize, put it back into something it can manage. Whereas when we're in that expanded self, there's no need. Everything that we need comes to us. There's no judgment, there's no worry, there's no want. And so there's no need for the mind to try and figure things out. And then when we let ourselves out of that state, then the mind comes in and goes, whoa, that was too much. What was going on behind us? And it wants to take control, be in charge, keep things tidy. And so it's that constant tug of war. And the only way we convince the ego that the expanded is better is to be in that expanded state. Because until it experiences how nice that is, how much more pleasant it is, how much more comfortable it is, it thinks that it has to keep us safe. And the only way to convince it of that is better than what it's got in mind is for it to experience that. And it takes time. Unless we're like one of these wonderful saints and sages that we know about that experience that once and they're done. Now, they've probably gone back and forth and back and forth many lifetimes before, but the more we can spend, more time we can spend in that expanded state, and whatever level of expansion that you get, and however you get that expansion, as long as it doesn't come ill-gotten, works, whether that's meditating, serving others, chanting Ram Nam, being on the top of a mountain. However you feel that expanded state, the more that you can put yourself into that, the more likely we convince the ego that it of itself is nothing and its father doeth the works. But don't quote me on that.
I get caught in that web when I think I'm expanding and I draw in what I think is best for another individual.
Ah.
And that just shrinks around me like shrink wrap.
Yeah.
And yes. That's a big thing I'm working on right now.
Yeah,
I feel guilty because I can't save or fix the other situation. But it's not my responsibility. But that's what really takes me out of my state of expansion.
Yeah. And I go back to the teachings that Papa's teaching of we paraphrase it, but we can do no real good until we have our own realization. And so, and if we think about David, we think about Mother, we think about Swami Satchidananda, and when they achieved that state, all they had to do was be to affect so many lives. And so, when we think about that, if we want to help our loved ones, if we want to help the world, that's the greatest thing we can do. Thinking that our small self can affect it. We could be doing harm, even if we're doing what, you know, for all intents and purposes is a good thing. It can be harming the other if we don't, if we aren't in that conscious state. And when we think of others and we want to pull them in, to just send, give that prayer to God. God, you've made me to think of this person when I'm in this state. It's your responsibility to bring us both to our highest realization. So you give it back to God. You surrender it to God.
Jill, that's I was just going to say that's so what I needed to hear right now, because we're at quite a distance from my mother-in-law, who's in her last days, and let's see, how can I say this? When I sit to meditate, when I remember that there's nothing to attain, I have that nice, that nice place to live in. If I don't reach out for anything mentally, if I just realize there's nothing to attain, there's no other level to get to, I can just be right here, then I have this wonderful peace. And I thought, how can, I have been thinking about how can I help my mother-in-law in my spiritual life? And you just gave me the connection, because that's exactly what's needed, is bring us both into this beautiful space. Is that what you're saying? Bring us both there, you can, Lord.
Yeah. And you can imagine when you get into that state of peace and you have her on your mind, how it goes out like a rock dropped into a perfectly calm pond, and that those vibrations just reverberate all the way to Vancouver, North Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And just go out like waves and waves and waves to her. How could they not?
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's exactly what I need.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
David also said that you can imagine holding a person's hand on the right side.
Oh, that's nice.
And then it's a built feeling.
Yeah. Judy, can you hear that? Michelle said David's suggestion was to see, was to imagine holding that person's hand in your mind's eye.
Thank you. And as I told Peter that time, and he put it in the prayer thing, I right away imagine mother holding holding her husband, you know,
holding,
and then,
both your hands.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Michelle.
Anybody else, questions or comments on this? This is, your spiritual practice at once stands alone, and it is also connected with every part of living. It is at the center of your life when you put God first. Spending quality time with God, you know when you have and you know when you have not, emanates out of to all our other activities. The feelings of upliftment, peace, love, and joy permeate your entire day, both changing its quality because of the state you're in and attuning you to bringing in more of its highest vibration by the choices you make. Look to the highest quality in every part of your life. You are building a perfect house in God every day of your life. The materials you choose and the care with which you build both increase your satisfaction today and will make a vast difference in your life and the lives of all those you touch as time unfolds. Create with the uplifting quality of God in all that you do and experience the difference. That's from another blog of David's. So let's have our closing prayer. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence,
of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being,
in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet
and surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Amen.
Hari Om, thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill.